Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We are your hosts,
Jana
and Kaylee. Today we will continue with Book 5, Ocean, and we're discussing Chapter 3, Nightmares and Revelations, and Chapter 4, The Great Bookery. But before we get started with the synopses today, I would like to clear up a couple of things from the last episode. First up, in the last podcast episode, we were looking at books in the series. And in chapter one of this season, Callum was reading The Lost Secrets of Zadia by Dee Geel. And we were wondering who that was and what that was referencing. And I'd forgotten about that. And in between, I was just on Wikipedia. And I saw in the list of writers on The Dragon Prince, Devon Geel. And I was like, oh my god, that's it. I got really excited. And yes, so this is the person that's being referenced, and it's the head writer, the lead writer at Wonderstorm. And they're the head writer of The Dragon Prince, basically.
Super cool.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But I also read about this person on the website.
Okay.
On their website, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In the first three books, there were only one of the writers,
mm-hmm.
and now beginning from this book, they are the lead writer.
Okay, so that just changed recently.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
And before it was co-producer, mm-hmm. and now it's producer.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, and Devon Geel seems to also be quite active in trying to get more queer content into series and the games that Devon Geel has worked on. She worked on League of Legends and still has an account on there. And also, so another kind of Easter egg, her name on League of Legends is Devon Runan Geel. So it seems like the name Runan actually came from her as well, into the show.
Okay.
As far as I can tell. And there is a weapon in League of Legends called Runan's Hurricane. And it seems like it's like a whole thing. I don't really know much about League of Legends. But then also from that, there's a weapon in Minecraft called Runan's Bow.
What the fuck?
And Runan in the series and her being the writer, it's all very exciting. And she's on Twitter, her profile picture is Runan and Ithari kissing.
Nice.
So there's definitely things going on. And I totally went on a rabbit hole here, as you can tell. And on Instagram, Devon Geel just draws pictures of elves.
Okay,
and
amazing.
And just posts pictures of elves all the time.
She was also interviewed by Hot Brown Morning Potion, by the way.
Really? Because I was looking at the list of their interviews today to look just for that.
But it was on the website.
Okay.
So I obviously put the website in the show notes.
Okay, cool. I'll look into that and definitely listen to that interview because she sounds like an interesting person.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was that bit. And then the second question we had on that topic was if the book that Claudia was reading in the beginning of back in season one, if that was also like an interesting reference. And she was actually another Easter egg reading Love Amongst the Dragons, which is the title of a play in Avatar.
Crazy.
So Ember Island. There's a couple of Ember Island episodes on Avatar. And in the episode where Zuko and the others they have like a teenage party and stuff like that, and Zuko says something about the Ember Island players having butchered Love Amongst the Dragons. So it's like, yeah, it's a funny... It's a very funny reference.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So yeah, we got to keep looking at those book titles. There's probably more stuff to discover. So.
Also check out the show notes of the last episode because there are also pictures of books and scrolls and everything.
Yeah, from your translation, huh? Your
exactly.
Danish translation. Yeah.
And there's an Arabic text. So if anyone knows Arabic, Maybe we can get a translation of that.
So I think that's it from notes from the last episode.
Cool.
All right. So now I'll read the synopses and then we can get into the meaty bit of the episode. Or the
vegan, non-meaty.
Non-meaty, interesting bit. Chapter 3, Nightmares and Revelations. Callum and Rayla arrive in Zadia to find royal wedding planning in full swing. Claudia and Terry make their way down the river while Viren's fever dream continues. Ezrin beseeches Zadia's dragons to help him find Viren and Claudia before they release Aravos from his prison. And Chapter 4, The Great Bookery. Callum and Kazi scour through the library for clues to defeat Aravos, while Amaya and Rayla find out they have a lot more in common than it seemed. Our heroes then get trapped in the library. They have to battle shadow beasts and barely make it out alive. Meanwhile, Karim attempts to get Sol Regum on his side with his new shady follower. Alright.
Nice.
So, chapter 3.
Okay, so let's start with the heroes. Ezrin and Zubea and Sim and Sauron and Corvus.
Yes.
Are getting together all the dragons. And Ezrin prepares a speech in the last chapter, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a very beautiful landscape and it looks like the Lion King because they are also on this plateau.
I had the same thought. Pride Rock, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was also in one of the first chapters also like this when they were announcing the Dragon Prince.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think. And it also reminded me of Jurassic Park because of Zubea's scream.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the dragons, what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay, let's fly there.
Yeah.
Or go there. And Ezrin is asking them for their support in helping find where the villains are.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, no one is doing anything. But then they roar or clap.
Yeah, they start roaring.
Yeah, roaring. So, full support of all the dragons. That's really cool.
Hooray!
And it also is a little bit like Game of Thrones again, with the landing their eyes or wings and power.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
that's it.
The only other thing to note was that the first dragon that called back with a yes was Pyra.
Mm.
The red dragon.
The dragon who was captured by some humans.
Yeah, and rescued by Callum and... And the other thing was we got to see lots of different types of dragons that we've not seen before. So there was like rocky dragons getting out of water and... raptor-like running dragons, and there was just like a few different kinds, and that was nice to see.
Jurassic Park,
and we saw how big Zubea was.
Yeah,
when she was flying, and Zim was like this tiny, so tiny next to her. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if the when the dragons are there, she is so huge in comparison.
Yeah, she's a whole other level.
Yeah, exactly. All and right. The only dragon who gets big, right?
Who gets big?
No, can
who
speak.
Who can speak? Yeah.
Because of her age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't learn to speak until they're 75.
Okay, then let's move on to Luxoria.
So Luxoria starts off people and humans waking up, and Janai is having a nightmare and sees Kessa being killed from up close, Kessa's Janai's sister. That was back in season 3, chapter 7, when that happened. And Aravos was whispering what happened to her grandmother, Aditi, in her ear. And Janai is really upset by the dream, which is interesting. It's actually a vision, because Janai didn't see that happen, you know. Janai was really far away from the action. So, like, she saw from far away that her sister had died, but she couldn't have seen all of that, you know.
Yeah,
and she didn't know who Erebos was, I think, and stuff. So, really interesting.
Oh, Erebos also had the bug and the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And do we know what he whispered?
No, not yet.
Okay.
And it's a really interesting thing, because I rewatched the original scene to see if it was the same or if they'd changed something, and it was exactly how it happened.
Okay, really. And also interesting, because then Shanai said something about, oh, I had this dream again. So it's a recurring nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Also title.
Yeah.
And also interesting for me, it was after Kessa?
Mm-hmm.
Kessa was killed. It looked like a red static, like, you know, from TV when there's the signal.
Mm-hmm.
So also interesting. And also the noise was like a static noise.
Yeah.
Like a television going blank.
Like she's being sent messages.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was really interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's got that going on. And Maya suggests that they pick their wedding flowers as a distraction. And they kiss.
Hooray. Yeah.
Been trying to look for some American Sign Language translations for these moments, but I haven't found anything so far. But yeah, I mean, we can understand by context what's going on, I guess.
Yeah.
And I quite like it that they don't put subtitles, because it's also...
Yeah, that's also fine.
It's also fine.
I was also interesting to finding out, but then I was like, okay.
Yeah. If it's not there, it's not there.
And it was also interesting because I think Amaya had trouble deciding for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And now she decided for almost everything. Like, she reduced all the flowers in Xenia to two.
Yeah.
To two choices.
To help Janai.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
And Janai still can't decide between them.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to choose... And wants Amaya to do it.
Yeah.
There was an interesting moment there with the sign language, because Kazi definitely hesitated when Kazi was translating back to Janai. That was the only thing that I was like, okay, there was something that Kazi didn't want to translate the way Amaya said it.
I thought it was like fucking something.
Exactly.
You know, like a curse word.
Yeah.
And she did it politely or something.
Exactly. So that was my only question of like, okay, what exactly did Maya say? Okay, so then we go outside the tent. There's a doggy barking at Raylam as they ride in on their Shadowpaw mount.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty underwhelmed by Luxoria. They didn't expect to find it like a camp. They get greeted by Commander Gren, and they ask if it's a peaceful utopia with humans and elves. Not really, though Gren thinks that the dust has settled.
Yeah.
And then he kind of accidentally spoils the news for them about the wedding.
No. He doesn't.
But he freaks Callum out because
he is like...
Oh, you've heard the news? And they're like, news? What news?
And they didn't hear any news whatsoever.
Nope.
So no letter of Amaya, nothing.
She hasn't written in ages. Yeah. I mean, since she got to know Janai, she's just...
busy.
She's too busy for us, you know? Yeah. Too busy for her friends and her family.
Yeah. So they don't know even if the news are bad or good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is why Callum's so worried.
Yeah.
Callum runs into the tent. And is freaking out, and Amaya shrugs at Gren like, oh, Gren, what did you say to them?
And then Rayla figures out, okay, what? Wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the cat is out of the bag.
Surprise.
The hot cat is out of the bag. And Callum is really, really happy and runs up to give Amaya a hug, and Amaya gives Callum this like back-breaking, cracking hug. Yeah.
Also picks him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what actually brings you here? Oh, the world might actually be ending.
Surprise!
So there we go. Callum tells them everything really long-windedly, and Rayla is like, get to the point, tells them the really short version that Aravos is coming back, Star Touch Elf, it might be the end of the world, and that they need to go to the bookery in Luxoria.
But Shanai forbids them to go to Luxoria because of what happened there, and they don't understand it at all.
Janai explains to them, yeah, why they can't go, and that there's like corrupted, there's dark magic infesting the city, it's forbidden ground, and because of these corrupted beasts, they had to kill their own people who got infected. Callum's really pissed, and Rayla too, and then they just decide, okay, we're gonna go. Yeah. We're gonna do it.
Yeah.
And of course Amaya is going with them too,
of course,
because how can she not? And as they're sneaking out, they bump into her and she's already in full armor.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, ready to go.
Yeah. I think this is a little bit of underwhelming, I would say, you know, the big speech of Janai,
mm-hmm,
and then Amaya and the others just decide, okay, fuck it. Mm-hmm. And then Janai is like, okay, I didn't say anything. So what happened there, you know? Like the...
Yeah, it's like she had to put on her strong queen hat.
Yeah, maybe.
And then she's like, ah, they're just going to do it anyway. Yeah. And if Amaya goes, it's all fine, you know? But yeah, it's a little bit like it undermines her...
authority.
Yeah. That she's just like, no... thou shall not go. And then, okay, good luck. Yeah. Don't die. And we see Amaya goes to Janai at the Sunsea tree.
By the way, it looks like a tree from Avatar.
Yeah.
The movie. The blue people. Not like a arrow blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, just want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's also like the energy in the tree,
Blue
people and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have a conversation there, and Janai also says, like, I may be queen, but even I don't have the power to stop these two once they set their mind to something.
Yeah. And she wants to join, basically.
Yeah, she wants to go.
She can't because of queen stuff.
Yeah, so maybe it was also a bit of bitterness that she can't just leap into danger.
Maybe. Yeah.
That she was so strict with them. Because basically she's telling herself, like, no, you can't.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You can't go, Janai. You can't go.
I forbid you.
Yeah. I forbid myself.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing I found, she said to Amaya, was the worst thing of all about all of it. Like, she's worried about the dreaming, she's worried about Aravos, she's worried about everything, but the worst thing is that they have to put off their wedding.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, they saddle up, and then, it's not what it looks like! And then,
and it's totally what it looks like.
And Janai is like, I see your aunt's spirit in you, so of course you're going to hurl yourself headfirst into danger.
Oh.
Yeah. So she gives her lava sword to Janai,
mm-hmm,
very big gift, and a crimson orchid. Yeah. And she's decided.
Yeah, nice.
Decided on the flower.
That's a nice symbol, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, Kazi wants to return overdue books.
Yeah. 2 years late to a destroyed, probably destroyed library.
Where no one is.
No.
Yeah.
You're not going to get fined, Kazi. It's okay. Just keep the books. Keep them safe. So then we go to Karim.
Exactly. So Karim wants a sign from Sun God or whatever. It sounded a little bit like the fifth element. Aziz, light. You know? This scene. And ta-da, there's also a creature appearing on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. And turns out to be Pharos, who used to be the high priest of Luxoria. And very suspicious. Sus. It's very sus.
Yeah.
gives Karim some water, because at first I was thinking, like, oh, is it just a hallucination? But no, he actually has water. So he can't be a hallucination. You are our only hope, Prince Karim of Luxoria, and gives him, like, the fancy hands. He, like, kneels down and does the Sunfire Elf salute thingy.
Lead us back to glory.
Yes. So, just one thing about this. The High Priest of Luxoria did get killed in Season 3, Episode 7. We saw that happen. So, this is very weird.
Yeah, this, and we see this also in the outro. So, let's move on to this later.
We'll go back to that when we talk about the credits then. Okay, on to our anti-heroes.
Terry is gondoliering.
True, yeah.
The boat.
And humming the old Dragon Prince theme.
That's so cool. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Claudia wakes and goes from the Sleeping Beauty to the Ravishing Beauty.
Terry.
And Terry picks a blue flower for Claudia, and she puts it into her hair.
And Terry's just smooth talking it all the way until Claudia's even like, oh, stop.
And, you know, doing her hair and, you know, like...
fiddling with her hair and all,
Oh, stop.
And then we go into Viren's fever dream.
Nightmares.
And I'll do anything to save my son. And he's on his hands and knees. I'll do anything. And then his eyes glow purple. Stars appear around him. And then he gets the stars, like, turn back into Sorin. And then he's like, you're okay. That's all that matters. And Sorin sees Viren's true face and then runs away from him, screaming. Like, wow. Hard. I had to save him. I had no choice. And then he's in the mirror with his younger self. He sees his true reflection then and is shocked. And it's very interesting.
He also spoke to him in the last chapter with himself.
Yeah.
But we didn't know yet, I think. Yeah. So I wrote down the no butterfly breakfast rune.
No butterfly breakfast rune. But also young, like not just...
Yeah.
Not just that. His voice is also like a little bit higher pitched and stuff. It's very well done. And I like the young Viren's clothes as well. He looks very like dapper.
So interesting also in Viren's dream again. Now is Claudia, and she's completely fine with his corrupted face and everything. And wants to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah.
And I think also the dark magic influences her hair. She turns white and old. We don't see the oldness, but the hair.
Yeah, turning but you white. See her grow up, like, because this it's like a child version of Claudia, who says, like, I'm following in your footsteps,
Daddy. That's the child, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then... she is the Claudia on the boat, essentially. But her hair turns completely white.
It does, yeah, that's right. It was a really nice little, it was a nice scene that, how it kind of flowed into each other.
And then also interesting, the dream, the nightmare and reality match a little bit. For example, with the blue flower and the waves or rapids. It's really interesting. And Viren tries to save Claudia, but in reality, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Because of waves and Viren falling into the water. So, also interesting.
Yeah, it's really well done. And it's also like, well, it can't just be a dream. Because it's also it really is like reflecting the reality, like you said, with the water, like the this big wall of water that's coming towards them. It's like the Upside Down, like the Stranger Things kind of.
Yeah.
This wall of water then is, oh, it's actually going downwards, not upwards. It's actually a waterfall. Yeah, it's very interesting. And in the sky the whole time, while he's having these dreams and stuff, is the corrupted sun orb.
Ah, okay, interesting. Yeah.
Like, I also thought maybe it's like an eclipse or something, but it's really, yeah.
Upside down, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense because it's like a magic power, a massive power source in Zadia, and it's completely corrupted with dark magic. So it's kind of makes sense that it's sending off, I don't know,
all dark of this. Dark signals.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's not just stuff in his head, but it's actually coming from the world in some way.
Yeah.
Anyway, just thoughts. Yes, and the other thing I thought was interesting there was when Viren saw Claudia getting older and her hair going white, he was like, oh no. He didn't want to see her kind of following his footsteps.
No.
And that I found really interesting, not just like this pride that he shows most of the time.
No, true.
Yeah, so back in reality, the water's gone all choppy, and yeah, like you said, Viren gets knocked off into the water.
Yeah.
And Claudia dives after him.
And Terry uses magic with vines to stop the boat. Also interesting.
Yeah.
Where are the vines coming from?
From the trees. Yeah. from the plants. You know, Terry's friends with the plants. Just has to do a little bit of magic and they come and help him.
Yeah.
So back in Viren's head, Claudia walks out of the darkness and has her true face, like magic, dark,
corrupted face, Claudia,
and says, I'll do anything for our family, Dad, whatever it takes, however dangerous, however vile, which is exactly...
Same sentence.
Copying what Viren was saying in the last episodes. Yeah, and in the real world, drags him out of the water and is punching his chest. And while she's trying to save him, he's talking to himself in the mirror again. And we meet again, only this time here I am on the other side, which I think he said in the last chapter as well.
Yeah.
Every step I took, I did it because I had to, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Yeah.
But now we get the reaction of the young Viren.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it leads me. And old Viren says, the path of destiny is already chosen. But young Viren says, every step is a choice. And tears up and starts to cry. And says, I am free and so are you. And he's totally giving me Soren vibes here.
Yeah.
Like his face, his mannerisms and everything. And then he puts his hand on the mirror. And then in the last second, young Viren grabs corrupted Viren's hand and drags him through the mirror as he comes back to life on the beach.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Intense.
Intense, really intense, yeah. And yeah, Viren is alive again.
Again.
Third time. And the last scene is ending with dragons flying above them.
Yeah.
So they know that something is going on.
Mm-hmm. We get a nice moment as well. Terry and Sparklepuff are happy to see Viren alive and they like kind of have a little cuddle.
Oh, okay. That I didn't see. It's wow. Cute. Okay.
Nice. And Sparklepuff smiles like, yay.
Yeah.
Daddy's alive.
Nice.
All right. So that was the first chapter.
Right.
Should we do overarching themes?
Yeah, sure. So for me, it's nightmares. It's Shanai's nightmare, the recurring one.
Mm-hmm.
Ruin's dream could also be a nightmare. And Lux Aria, for example, killing their own people, it's also a nightmare for them. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of nightmares. Maybe also Karim's hallucinations, or, you know, not hallucinations, but foreshadowing of something evil, like there's a sign and then it's a corrupted Pharos and maybe also a nightmare. I don't know.
Okay. So you're on the nightmare track and the Revelations side?
The Revelations is only Reading.
Yeah.
World ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And maybe Viren's younger self.
Maybe.
Realizing what his path looks like.
Yeah.
Potentially.
So maybe also getting Viren more friendly.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Him kind of meeting his inner younger self again.
Yeah.
Yeah. My overarching themes are doing the right thing, because we've got that on both sides, from the anti-heroes talking about doing the right thing, however vile, blah, blah, blah. But also, Janai said about Raylam, you can't stop them once they've put their mind to something. Yeah. And that how far would they go now to kill Erebos, basically. Yeah, okay. So then we have the credits.
So I will start with Old Riven and Young Riven in the mirror. So Old Riven in front of the mirror and the young one in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Claudia.
As
a child, riding a chibi unicorn with magic sparkles. So I was wondering if it was like that they'd enchanted a toy. And that she's actually running around on a unicorn.
Okay, yeah.
Or if it's just Claudia's imagination.
Maybe. But it's also the unicorn has anime eyes, mm-hmm. so like really big.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if this is the real world.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. That's why I wrote chibi, you know, like these with a massive head, massive eyes. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's also why I thought it might be a toy.
Yeah.
Could be. I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Then we see a crimson orchid, which Janai chose.
And then we've got Terry dressed up like a Venetian what's it called?
Gondolier.
A gondolier.
Yeah.
A Venetian gondolier.
Yeah. We see Pharos with corruption leaking out of his clothing. That's mm-hmm. the point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So someone died here.
Mm-hmm.
And this super is dodgy. Only... vampire zombie thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we've got young Viren looking at old Viren in the mirror.
Yeah.
So this high priest thing is just really dodgy, because it was really, really clear in that episode that he got killed, you know?
Yeah.
Erebos possessed him in that episode. Erebos was in his body when he killed Kessa.
Okay. Wow.
And then when he gave the staff back to Viren afterwards and kind of bowed and was like, this is yours now, then Erebos disappeared and the body of the priest just crumpled on the floor, like dead.
Okay.
So it was really clear and, it was really clear for me. So.
Really intense. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is all very, very dodgy. Okay, so let's move on to chapter 4, The Great Bookery.
Okay, let's start in the desert. So we see Karim and Pharos searching for someone. And it's Sol Regim, the archdragon of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Sun archdragon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting because sunbirds reveal the presence or the locations.
Mm.
So
sunbirds,
yeah.
Okay.
I read it up.
Okay, cool.
It's really interesting. So three sunbirds flying around.
They were above the cave.
Yeah, exactly. And so Regim is super old and wakes up and basically tells him to leave. Mm-hmm. Like, go away.
Mm-hmm.
And they also see that he has no eyes. Yeah, and then they try to convince him, and so Regim just answers... after 1,000 years, no, that's Karim tells him, after 1,000 years, humans are back in Celia and causing elves to lose their cultural identity and stuff like that, conjures a hovering fireball. And so Regim is just being super sarcastic and a little bit bitter and answering, he lost hope long before his sight. and he's this depressed for decades, and also again tells them to go away.
Yeah. And curls up, goes back to sleep.
No. But then Karim just says, okay, yeah, we have a task now, because let's heal the blindness.
Yay. Yeah.
So that's it.
Next task.
Yeah.
Tick.
Yeah. Maybe influenced by Faust also.
Also, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. But I found it interesting that Saul Wiggum says he has been depressed for decades.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not many animated kind of series that mention depression.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah.
And that he's not just this bitter, like, okay, yes, I'm going to kill everyone, you know? He's just like, just leave me alone.
Yeah. I thought he is going to kill them because he is, you know...
Yeah, you see doing the lights. His yeah.
light thingy,
mm-hmm.
but then just blows out the fireball.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about what's happening in the library.
Yeah. First, they're riding towards the library, and they see corrupted creatures like the Banta everywhere. It's also called Shadow Beasts. And they learn that a tiny scratch is enough to spread this darkness.
Very important thing yeah. to know.
It's like a vampire zombie thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I had the same thought. Yeah, with, they don't like the light.
The sun, yeah.
But they, yeah, with the
tiny
scratch.
Tiny scratch is enough.
Yeah. You're corrupted too.
Yeah. And when they arrive, then Kazi is really happy because it's their favorite spot in the world, the book drop. And Amaya just says, okay, yeah, let's move on and tell us about your wild and crazy student years later.
thanks, Kazi, but no thanks, Kazi.
Yeah. yeah. And Callum is telling Kazi that they are searching for a book, How to Kill a Star Touch Elf. So maybe there's no section for that, mm-hmm. basically, but yeah, maybe there's a book or a scroll or something. And there's also an interesting scene with Amaya and Rayla, and because Amaya is saying, basically, yeah, I'm sorry for treating you so badly in the Banta Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And Rayla is accepting the apology, and then Amaya is saying, if you ever hurt Callum again, I will kill you.
yeah, very protective.
Yeah.
And back with Callum and Kazi, Kazi finds the poem, The Death of the Immortal, and they find out about that the Nova Blade is the weapon they need to kill a Star Touch Elf.
Yeah.
So Lorelian was the Star Touch Elf that was being kind of defeated in that poem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that they know where they have to go to get it.
Also interesting because it's saying, okay, it's immortal. Lorelian is immortal and undying.
Mm-hmm.
But also taking his last breath.
And then was no more.
Exactly. And Nova Blade also sounds a little bit Latin. Like Nova for new.
Yeah. I think so too, yeah.
But, yeah, my Latin is not the best, so maybe mm-hmm. not. also interesting, bait is used for support, for holding a parchment roll.
Yeah, true. yeah, and while Kazi is reading the poem, Stella steals a scroll in the background
yeah.
and puts it in the portal.
Yeah. So the contents, I would say, would be now and one nail, magic stones, maybe some arrows, opals, and scroll or scrolls.
Scrolls. Yeah. I think we see Stella take two. Two? This is one of two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Also, I wrote down sack of coins, but in one scene later, we see Rayla has the coins, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gives the coins back yeah. to Rayla. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then we get a great victory dance.
Yeah. Research. It's fun and saves the world sometimes.
All right. Then we go back to Rayla and Amaya. And Rayla says that hurting Callum was the last thing that she wanted to do. That she only left him behind because she wanted to protect him. And Amaya's like, do you know who you sound like?
Me.
And we get this nice moment with Amaya talking about Sarai.
Yeah, exactly.
For the first time.
Yeah.
That Sarai was the smartest person Amaya ever knew. And she felt lost and weak without her. And she hated feeling that way. So she cut people off and was stoic, strong, and lonely. So yeah, meeting Janai and falling in love. She's learned that she's stronger than ever because they're stronger together.
Yeah.
And it's good to trust loved ones to share the burdens we carry.
Exactly.
Really nice.
Really nice. And we also have a beautiful flashbacks of Raylam.
Yeah.
And they hug. And Gran is like, huh, should I do something? Okay, no.
No. Amaya and Rayla hug.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry.
And Rayla asks for permission kind of first.
So, oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
Can I just... And then just like leaps on Amaya.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. So we learned that they share a similar mindset and it's good to share the burden. And Rayla instantly goes on and asks Callum for a talk and tells him about her problems
mm-hmm.
or, you know, insecureness, burden, yeah, exactly. Tells him about the coins, but also tells, okay, the mission is first, coming first, and I'm focused about it. So just to share the burden, I trust you. Here are my parents and Runa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool like,
yeah.
She's had this really emotional moment with Amaya, and she learned immediately something and wanted to try it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, realized that that was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And Callum, because he's a high mage, is saying something thanks for your trust. And hey, let's do this because I found a scroll or a spell in a scroll that can restore bodies to separated spirits. So,
handy.
Ta-da! There's your solution.
Here's a problem, here's a solution.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking it's a shame that Callum's photographic memory didn't mean that he just remembered everything on that page because it would have saved them a lot of trouble.
Yeah, true. But only a bit of trouble. Yeah, okay, maybe a lot of trouble. I don't know. But in the next scene, it's almost sundown, but Callum finds the page with the help of Bait and Stella, rips out the page, and the spell needs
Quasar
diamonds, star magic, and it's at the star scraper. Also, there's the Nova Blade. Ta-da!
Hooray.
One location, two problems.
Yeah.
Or two solutions.
Two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Also, on the page, it was titled with Crown of the Heavens.
Okay, I didn't know.
Maybe it was Crown of the Heavens.
Yeah.
But it looked like Corona.
But Corona, I think, is also, it means crown.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
And at the bottom of the page, it said the Star Scraper.
Yeah. After 2 minutes, they have to fight against three zombie vampire bandits because now it's sundown. And they use sky magic and arrows, knives, blades, and Bait is helping them also with blinding one banter.
Yeah.
So big fighting scenes. Amaya loses all her stuff, but they, like Raylum is conjuring or inventing a magic arrow.
Yeah, true.
Share the burden, you know.
Yeah, that
and,
was really good.
They kill all the three Venters.
Ventum Angulus, huh?
Yeah, it was three spells. Aspero Frigus, then Fulminus, but wordless. You know, like just like...
I've got Thunder Punch.
What? Thunder Punch?
That's what I called it.
Ah, okay. Nice.
It was a wordless Fulminous, but it was, it was Fulminous, but it was all in his fist.
Ah, okay, yeah.
It was like a boxing glove.
Okay, yeah. And then Ventrum Angulus. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, but then there are more Benters.
Oh, dear.
A lot more Benters.
Too many.
Yeah. So Raylan also have a nice scene because they know that they love each other.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, and they hold hands. Like, exactly. This is the end.
Yeah.
But then
a huge dragon comes from the roof.
Yeah.
Sobeya to the rescue and the others. And Soren, because he's a comedian, all the action you can handle at the library.
Yeah, and she doesn't just smash through, she zaps all of the banthers, that's one by cool. One as well.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Sappy.
And then the heroes are all together again.
Yeah,
hooray, true. Stronger together.
Yeah. Nice.
But Bait gets left behind. And Amaya jumps off Zubeya to go and grab him. And we get a nice kind of rugby, American
baseball?
Football.
Yeah, something.
American football throw.
Yeah.
And Soren catches him. And I just found it so cute because when Amaya jumps down, she this isn't cute. She stabs a panther through the head. That's not the cute bit. But Bait's all green and scared. And as soon as Amaya reaches for Bait, Bait just turns yellow and is like, hello, hello, friend.
True. That's really cute.
And then Amaya tells them to go, and then she actually shouts, go, and that's the first time we've heard her voice.
I think it's also the only time.
Yeah.
And it reminded me also a little bit of Gandalf.
Go!
Fly, you fools.
Run, you fools.
No, fly.
Isn't
it? Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I think he says run, you fools, but I don't know.
Yeah, something about you fools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fly, you fools wouldn't make sense.
Not if they didn't have the eagles.
Then run or go or something. Yeah.
He just says, go, run, you fools.
Hi, here's Kaylee from the editing room. I just wanted to say that me and Yana talked about this after the episode, and it seems to be a common fan disagreement online. The official line seems to be fly, so well done, Yana. But when I listen to it, I still hear run. So have a listen and see what you think. We can chat about it in the Telegram chat. Bye.
Fly, you fools!
Yeah, so they go. But on their way, a Corrupto Banther jumps up and bites Zubeya on the neck, on the chest.
Yeah.
Corvus knocks it off, but falls down to Amaya. And there's this real, okay, we're going to die moment.
Yeah.
Brings a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's been the greatest honor to serve under you. And then they, have a forehead-to-forehead moment. And then they realize that the book drop is there. Which... I was telling the TV the whole time to all of them.
Me too.
Get in the book drop. Get in the book drop.
Me too.
What are you doing? Just get in the book drop.
Yeah, all of them wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
Maybe the three of them when Zubeya wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, before Zubeya arrived, they would have fit.
Yeah. Totally.
It was just why?
Yeah.
Why are you fighting them? Why are you risking everything?
Totally.
Anyway. So oof, emotional. Wow.
Yeah.
Very dramatic. And now we know Zubeya's injured.
That's heavy because she is so huge. And imagine a corrupted Zubeya.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I can't. You know, probably more than I do.
It's just...
horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Doesn't bear thinking about, really.
Yeah. But it's nice that they found... this great spot and hide there.
Yeah.
In Kazi's favorite spot. And also when Zubeya flies away, we see Lux Aurea and it's also super big.
Yeah.
Huge city.
It is massive. Yeah. I also like that about the beginning of this chapter, because we see them like from above, kind of entering the city and walking through the streets, and it's like, wow, actually, yeah, it's an immense city. Must be a real bummer that they haven't been able to get it back yet.
Yeah, totally.
And to move back in.
Also, the Benders moved in so fast.
And just Banthas, where's other corrupted animals?
Like birds or, you know, worms or birds.
Oh, birds. Yeah. Or like other kind of sunfire creatures. Because Banthas are just like actually from the human lands.
Yeah.
They're not magical creatures in the first place. Unless magical creatures are immune. But then we wouldn't have to worry about
Zubea
or other magical.
Yeah.
And also the fire elves themselves are magical, so they wouldn't be corruptible, right?
True, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Crazy stuff.
Wow, crazy.
I wrote way too many notes about that battle. I have like blow-by-blow account of it.
Okay, if you want to go into the details, please do. But
no, I was just reading a little bit to be like, was there a moment that I really wanted to talk about? There was just this one kind of amazing moment with Amaya. She like throws her shield, which is like a move she's done before. She throws a shield and stuns one of the Banthas. And then when it gets up and like runs towards her again, she just like slides under it and like slices it open down the middle.
That's really cool move.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. They're not holding back on these kind of more gory scenes. It's definitely like the age rating is definitely going up per season, I feel, with how much of that kind of stuff they're showing, like with death and violence and such things.
It's getting darker by the minute, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay, so for overarching themes, I have, it's the title is The Great Bookery, so yeah, it's more of a setting really than a theme, but being stronger together. We've got Raylam and Jamaya and all the heroes, they're all stronger together.
Yeah, true.
And I wrote that this episode is like a tragic love letter. It's like there's so many kind of declarations of love in this chapter. Amaya is talking about it, and Rayla and Callum, and people coming together, and Corvus and Amaya, and all of these like really emotional kind of connection moments. But it ending on Zubea being corrupted potentially is like,
oh no.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you have?
Yeah, I just have more with books. You know, like books are good for researching and
saving the world. Sometimes.
Saving the world sometimes, exactly. Like the nerdy stuff.
Yeah. I have for introductions on this that we've got places that we didn't know about before. So the Star Scraper, at least. A person that we didn't know before, Lorelion, but we haven't really learned much about them yet. No. A thing that we didn't know about, the Nova Blade.
Yeah.
And Amaya's voice.
Yeah, true.
So, do you want to go through the credits?
Yes. So, we see Amaya prepares to throw bait, like this baseball, football thing.
It was a good pose.
Yeah.
Sol Regem with outspread wings.
And holes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The piece of paper from the book with the Star Scraper and the title Corona of the Heavens.
And there's also at the top of the page, I don't know if you noticed, there's the three quasar
diamonds. Yeah.
In a diadem, like a crown. Yeah. And that has been a previous credits image.
Ah, true. Yeah. Mm.
Which was a foreshadow.
Yeah.
For this, which is also foreshadowing, I guess, going to that place and finding the diadem.
Did we learn about the diamonds before?
We've heard about them from Nathan.
True. In the rainbow cave, right?
Yeah. What was it called? In the Pit of Despair.
First stage.
First stage. the shiny cave, anyway. Yeah. And Nathan explained then that there were only three known quasar diamonds in the whole world. And I think it was that chapter that had the picture of the diadem in the end.
That could be.
Okay, then we have Kazi reading by candlelight in the book drop.
We see Kazi with Sunfire University outfit and a flag with Go Hotcats. And the Hotcats are the twin-tailed infernal tooth tigers.
Then we have a bearded winged elf holding the quasar diamond diadem. That's easy for you to say.
Yeah.
And has kind of like a blindfold on with a star on it.
Yeah.
And I'm suspecting it's the High Mage of the Starscraper.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. I wrote down blindfolded elf with rings holding a crown. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. So obviously going to be an important
character. Totally. Yeah.
Like the keeper of the...
Something.
The diamonds and the Nova Blades. Yeah. Like
something that it reminded me of, this statue of justice holding the scales.
Ah. Mm.
You know, also blindfolded, justice...
The blah, scales blah, blah. Of justice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something about it.
Yeah, we will see, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, nice beard. Very well, what do you call it? Barbered. Styled.
Styled, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say cared for.
Nicely cared for.
Yeah.
Well done, you, whoever you are. All right. And then we have jellies. Don't have many this time. We've already said a few of them. I've got the first chapter. A few days ago, I was pacing and doing nothing in a castle. Now I'm pacing and doing nothing in a tent. If anything, that's worse. And then we fought together at the Storm Spire. She saw me zap dark magic monsters.
I have exactly the same. Yeah. Also the nice picture of Callum zapping monsters.
Oh, it's such a good picture.
Yeah,
it's great. So if you didn't notice it, people... Yeah, it's Callum doing like zappy zap and the monster being like bleh, and then Janai in the bottom corner with like thumbs up and winking like, well done, Callum. That was a good picture.
Yeah. And something about what did you do? Oh, I sat on my hands. So they are just preparing their excuses for going to the library.
Yeah.
And that's it. So... Yeah.
Yeah, and the other things we said already.
Not so much.
All the action you can handle at the library.
Yeah.
Thank you, Soren. Exactly.
Not so much funny stuff going on.
We've not had much Soren, really.
Yeah.
It's missing.
And we have, you know, Harry Potter style. It's going dark by the chapter.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, and like so far, this season has gotten very dark. I mean, last season we were complaining because it was going so slowly, you know? And now it's like, oh my God, don't do that to the people we care about, you know? So in a way, I'm now kind of feeling that we kind of needed the last season for some kind of homely...
Preparation,
nice time with our characters, you know, and now it's like, okay, let's get to the action, and it's pretty hard.
Yeah, totally.
Hard going.
Totally, yeah.
All right, do you have any other thoughts?
No, that's it.
Only an hour this time. We've managed to shorten it down after the last episode.
The last episode was long, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well... That's about it from us. If you've got any thoughts, share with us in our Telegram chat. And yeah, I'm looking forward to recording again soon. We're planning on recording again next week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if we can manage it and get these episodes coming out quicker.
Yeah.
And
Maybe not super quick because I'm not there in December.
In December. But, well, yeah,
let's see.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll try our best. All right.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, as always. And speak to you soon. Good night.
Good night. Bye. Meanwhile, Karim attempts to get Solricum on his side with his...
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.